knowing the goddess's clear word when he heard it. Odysseus broke into a run. He tossed his cloak to be picked up by his lieutenant, Eurybates of Ithaca, and wheeling close to the silent figure of Agamemnon, relieved him of his great dynastic staff, then ran on toward the ships. Each time he met an officer or man of rank, he paused, and in his ear he said, "Don't be a fool. It isn't like you to desert the field the way some coward would. Come, halt, command the troops back to their seats. You don't yet know what Agamemnon means. He means to test us, and something punitive comes next. Not everyone could hear what he proposed just now in council. Heaven forbid he cripple in his rage the army he commands. There's passion in kings. They hold power from Zeus. They are dear to Zeus." But when Odysseus met some common soldier, bawling still, he drove him back. He swung upon him with his staff and told him, "Fool, go back, sit down, listen to better men. Unfit for soldiering as you are, weak sister, counting for nothing in battle or in council. Shall we all wield the power of kings? We cannot, and many masters are no good at all. Let there be one commander, one authority, holding his royal staff and precedence from Zeus, the son of crooked-minded Cronus, one to command the rest." So he himself, in his commanding way, went through the army, and back to the assembly ground they streamed from ships and huts with multitudinous roar, as when a comber from the windy sea on a majestic beach goes thundering down, and the ebb seethes offshore. So all subsided, except one man who still railed on alone. Thersites, a blabbing soldier, who had an impudent way with officers, thinking himself amusing to the troops, the most obnoxious rogue who went to Troy. Bow-legged, with one limping leg, and shoulders rounded above his chest, he had a skull quite conical and mangy fuzz like mould. Odious to Achilles this man was, and to Odysseus, having yapped at both, but this time he berated Agamemnon, at whom, in fact, the troops were furious, lifting his voice and jeering, "Agamemnon, what have you got to groan about? What more can you gape after?